Well, today we're going to do something a little bit different. We've got three guys in our church who are going to come and bring their story, their testimony. How about that, everybody? And so you better get ready. You're going to be blessed today. And so the first person I'm going to ask is Ian Cook, my squash partner, mighty man of God. And just as on a personal note, we playing tomorrow night? Amen, 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 amen. Put your hands together again for Ian as he comes to bless us.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. Good morning to you. My name is Ian, and I'd like to share my testimony with you. Amen. I'd like to tell you what life was like before I became a Christian, how I became a Christian, and then what life has like been like since I became a Christian. I didn't always realise it, but I think God's been watching over my life, my entire life. When I was about 6 years old, when my father became very, very sick, the time that I needed him the most, I was just growing up. When I was about nine, I remember, this is tough for me. I remember crying in the back seat of my dad's car, asking God to make Dad better. Well, just 2 days later, Dad died. I couldn't believe it. I blamed God, and I blamed myself even more for asking God to heal my dad. I was very young. And didn't really understand what was going on. I was heartbroken and I was really angry with God. My mum turned away from church because the people there let her down. They'd say things like, it was because she didn't have enough faith that Dad died. I mean, absolute rubbish. So stupid. You know, why do people say such stupid things? She worked very hard to raise my brother and myself by herself. People in the church promised to help her, but they never did. It was very hard for everybody. So we didn't go to church, and I stopped believing in God, and I never asked God for anything again. Later on, when I was about 23, well, my grandparents died. I think that's pretty normal for everyone. But then when I was about 32, someone very, very, very close to me died. I blamed God once again, but this time I hated God even more, honestly. How could you do it? How could a loving God let such bad things happen? You know, it just wasn't fair. All my life I've been surrounded by death and people leaving me. Why? Why, God? Well, then one day I met my beautiful wife, Michelle. We fell in love and we got married about 25 years ago. Michelle was a Christian, I wasn't. Sometimes out of respect for Michelle, I'd go to church on Easter and Christmas. Well, one Christmas day back in 2003, I reluctantly went to church with my wife. Halfway through the service, I started to sob uncontrollably. I couldn't help it. No, I'm all good. Thank you. Nothing was wrong. It was Christmas Day, and I'd been really happy beforehand. It was God. I remember thinking what a huge sacrifice God had made for me. He sent his one and only son to die for me. I mean, for me. You know, that's just amazing that someone would die for me. At the end of the service, I remember Pastor Dave asking everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes, and raise their hand if you wanted to give your life to Jesus. Well, it was incredibly tough for me. My hands were sweating, my heart was bracing, and I thought people, even my own family, would ridicule me. I thought there was no way my kids would want to come to church, but I decided to raise my hand anyway and give my life to Jesus. And it was the best decision I've ever made. From that day on, my wife and kids started attending church, worshipping Jesus, and we never looked back. I now work for myself, and God has blessed me. He's provided for me and my family. He's always, always watched over me, even though I was too young or too foolish to understand it. I love God, and I know He loves me. If I may, I'd just like to share my favourite Bible verse with you. It's from Habakkuk 3:17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to tread on heights. This verse gave me such strength to carry on through difficult times. It helped me to get things into perspective. We have so much to be thankful for. God has prospered me and kept me from harm. And I thank God he has saved my wife and myself from cancer. I had testicular cancer and Michelle had a very aggressive type of cervical cancer. It's been over 9 years now and we're still going strong. We've been going to church for over 15 years now. We still have tough times, but God brings us through. Okay. So why am I saying these things to you today? Because I want to encourage you to keep on going. I want you to trust in Jesus. People may say mean or stupid things to you, and life may get tough. People, friends, relatives may die, or you may get sick. But you can get through. Put your faith in Jesus. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will guide you. And lastly, he will love you. I know this because he did it for me. So I know he'll do it for you. I hope I've encouraged you today to follow Jesus. It is the best decision that you can ever make. Thank you.
Wow, that was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah, there was so much in that. Just that point, though, let's not say stupid things to each other, you know. Just a little tip, you know. We're in relationship with Jesus. You can never reduce the Bible and God to a formula. He's God. And we don't need to justify him. Let's just bless each other, not judge each other. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. You ready for one more testimony? Actually, we've got two more. I'm going to ask Ian Butterworth to come and greet us.
I'd just like to start off with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that you, to use me, Father, for your glory, Father. I just ask for your anointing to be in this place and that I'll be an encouragement to others, Father God, when they are facing battles, Father, that they'll just keep their eyes on you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Good morning, everyone. I'll just start off with a brief background thing. I'm the second youngest of six children. We came from England. I was 3 months old when we came to Australia. We didn't go to church at all. We weren't Christians. I only went to church for either weddings or funerals. I grew up in a pretty loved family, not too bad. I left school at the age of 15. My best mate and I, he used to live 4 houses down the road from us, so we grew up from 2 years old. And at the age of 17, we started taking pot, and his uncle used to grow it. By the age of 18, I was helping him bag it, weigh it, and we were selling it down the pub. I was about 24, and my girlfriend at the time, who wasn't married, gave birth to a little girl. Most of you know is Cherie. So when we brought her home from the hospital, I made that decision that I wasn't going to do drugs anymore. I wasn't going to help sell it. So I told him, "That's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I quit." And Yeah, so I had I went into the room. I had a wardrobe in the spare room, which we changed into the baby room, and I had two bags of so back then it was the paper shopping bags. I had them full of marijuana. So I just picked them up, threw them in the bin, and I wiped my hands off it. And I asked him to do the same because he was starting to have kids as well, but he continued to do it. So I had to back away from him a bit. And then I married Cherie's mum, and then I felt that we needed to come over here for some reason. I was just drawn to Perth, so we decided to come over here in 1990. And at the time, Cherie's mum was like a baby Christian, I suppose, and she started going to a church in Armidale, which was David's dad's church, Armidale Family Church. And so she was going there, and I wasn't a Christian, I'd stay home and that. But eventually I got curious and I decided to go to church and check it out. And after a while, I ended up giving my life to God. I got baptised in the church in a spa. And I think it was Pastor Ken and Pastor Ralph Mitchell who was in the spa with me. And then, so life wasn't too bad. But after quite a few years, we started having problems in our marriage. Eventually, we ended up splitting up. And in 2007, I met this lady. I fell in love with her. Her name was Catherine. And, so we ended up getting married in February 2008. Life was going good. At the time, we were renting. We were talking about buying our own home. In 2011, Catherine noticed she was getting short of breath. And she kept saying she was very unfit and all that. And even just to put laundry from the basket into the washing machine, she'd run out of breath and panting, and I thought something wasn't right, so I asked her to go to the doctors. They did some scans and they found that she had small cell lung cancer. So we went to a specialist and he wanted to do chemo straight away because it's a very aggressive cancer. So we started within a couple of days, and she had her first treatment. And she fell really sick after the first treatment. And the doctors thought it was a bit strange. So they asked, they said they wanted to do some more scans, this time on her brain. So they did that, and we got called into an office. We went down a few levels in the hospital. By the time we got up, they'd had the results. So we got called into another room, and they said they found 6 tumours. So, so they told us that Catherine only had 3 months to live. So we were just shocked. I grabbed her hand and we just sat there in silence. In less than a minute, David rang me. He felt like he just needed to call me. So I suppose that was God just letting us know that we weren't alone. So we just went and started going through all the treatment and all that. So she ended up going for fighting it for 28 months. She fought it for, and I believe God allowed her to have that extra time with her children. And in that time, we brought our own home, which was her dream. So God was good. And Catherine, while she was going through the treatment, Catherine would always believe, she had so much faith that she would be healed. And she used to say to me, one day I'll stand up on this stage and testify what the Lord has done for her. in 2011, she lost her fight. 2013, she lost her fight, and she went to be with the Lord. And my world just come crashing down. I got angry. I started drinking every night. I got drunk. I started abusing God. I couldn't believe that she wasn't healed. And I couldn't understand why God didn't heal her. She had so much faith all the way through that she thought she'd stand on here and testify of her healing. And I couldn't understand why God didn't heal her. So my anger just grew and grew and grew. And I just kept drinking every night. And I'd put on a brave face, even though I had beautiful friends from this church who were supporting me and were closer to me than my own family. And I thank God for them. And I was sitting at the back one night, and I was sitting on a seat, and I was actually making a noose in a rope I had. And I began to tie it round a beam. And this thought came into my head. So you're happy to put your daughter Cherie through the same thing you're going through. I just fell to my knees. I was sobbing and I cried out to God. I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I surrender it all to you. And at that moment, I realised I'd taken my eyes off God and I was looking at my circumstances. So I had to ask him for forgiveness. I made many stupid mistakes in that time. I hurt people, not intentionally, but just through my actions because I was trying to do it in my own strength. So I had to repent of all that. And after I repented, I felt God's peace and joy starting to return in my life. And I just grabbed hold of him and just kept praying and holding on to him with both hands. A couple of years later, I was having a prayer time with the Lord, and I actually just asked him a question. And I said, Lord, how could I ever love a woman as much as I loved Catherine? I didn't get an answer, and I just left it at that. 6 months later, I was standing down the back, and I was down with Stephanie, and we were just greeting people as they were walking in, getting their seat. And this beautiful lady walked past me and just said good morning and kept walking to her seat. And as she was walking, I felt the Lord say, this is the lady you're going to marry. I didn't know this lady from a Barra Sab. I didn't know she was married, single. I was just like, oh, okay. And I only saw her occasionally after that as I came to the first service and she came to the second. So it was only like, good morning, as in passing each other, and that was it. And then one Father's Day morning, David asked me to stay for both services as because my daughter married David and Rochelle's son, Ben, and they've got two little dogs. So they brought us a T-shirt with a picture of their dogs because me and David had a running joke that they were our grandkids because they were taking forever. So they were our grandkids. So he asked me to come up and we stood up here and shout our T-shirts off. After the second service, I went to get a cup of coffee and here this beautiful lady was. And this beautiful lady is named my wife, Jessie. Who I love just as much as Catherine. So God was faithful. He heard my prayer. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever your battles are, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's so faithful. Just like that song said, he's so faithful. Yeah, he wants the best for us. He laid down his life for us. He fights for us every day. So please do not give up, but just keep your eyes on Jesus. I'd like to finish just reading a psalm. It's Psalm 55, verse 22. It's, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. Thank you. We're going to ask Nick now, Nick Kingsford, to come and share his testimony as well. Thanks, Nick.
Good morning, church. I thought that I had no hope and no future. I was raised in a Christian home with good, loving parents. I attended church as a child, and I went to a Christian school, but I didn't know who God was. I knew about God, but I didn't know him. As a young teenager, I was depressed. I hated myself, and I hated life. I learned how to play electric guitar and was attracted to dark, depressing, and angry music. Guitar was the one thing I was good at, and I would practice for hours every day. In high school, I struggled socially and always struggled to make friends. I started drinking and taking drugs because I could be more confident socially and make friends. I thought that drinking and taking drugs improved my personality and made me a more fun person to be around. I didn't want to get a career, get married, and have a family like everyone else. I wanted to be different. I wanted to play guitar. I wanted to be in a band. When I was 17, I moved out of home. I rented a house with my cousin Ben, who played guitar, and a mate who played drums. The three of us had the same dream of forming a heavy metal band. We practiced together about two or three times a week. Our house was a party house, and there was lots of drinking and drugs. By the time the lease ended, I was 20, and I moved back into my parents' home with a meth addiction. When I was 23, after asking my dad for help, I went to rehab. I was there for 3 months. When I got home, I was using again within a week. After trying to quit meth countless times and failing again and again, I felt like I had no hope and no future. I would give up on trying to quit and thought I would just have to learn to live with this addiction. I wanted to change my life, but I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried to change, I failed again and again. I was dangerously depressed. I tried to kill myself once with a handful of pills. I blacked out and woke up in hospital. One time I was driving home from an Australia Day party. I fell asleep at the wheel. Going about 70 k's an hour, drove straight into a tree. My car was completely destroyed. I woke up in hospital with only minor injuries, and that crash should have killed me. It was a miracle that I was alive. The second time I tried to kill myself was with a fishing knife, which left me needing surgery and 65 stitches. Around the age of 25, 26, I was using meth almost every day. I was an anxious mess and at times extremely paranoid to the point where I was too scared to leave my room. I was consumed by fear. In desperation, I humbly asked my dad once again for help. I'm so grateful for my mum and dad. Without their love, support, and prayers, I have no doubt that I'd be dead. My dad helped me get a naltrexone implant, which is a device that is inserted under the skin near your tummy. And it works like a nicotine patch. It helps to stop cravings. The naltrexone implant worked really well, and I was able to stay reasonably clean, only having a minor slip-up every couple of months. I thought that getting clean would be the end to all my problems. But without drugs or alcohol to numb my emotions, I could clearly see how broken I was, how empty I was, and how much I had messed up my life. There was definitely still something missing. Sometimes, when no one was home, I would listen to the Christian music my parents had on their computer. There was something peaceful that I liked about it. Also, every now and then, I started watching preaching on TV on Sunday mornings. But I kept my interest in God a secret. I was always worried about what people would think of me if I became a Christian. Russell Brand is an actor slash activist who got my attention. I looked up to him because of his documentaries about addiction and his own personal story of overcoming drug addiction. Russell Brand believes in God and is very spiritual. He would sometimes even mention Jesus' teachings and quote the Bible. This is what sparked an interest in me to open my Bible and read about Jesus for myself. And around this time, my auntie was sending me Christian videos like testimonies through Facebook. And it was around this time that I began to believe in Jesus. At the end of one of these videos my auntie sent me, I prayed to Jesus, I asked for forgiveness, I asked him to be my saviour. Soon after this, I went to church and the pastor prayed for me in an altar call. I had a feeling of overwhelming joy and peace. These moments marked the turning point in my life and I noticed that I was different. I began to see life from a different perspective. The first thing I noticed was different is that my anger was gone. I used to have a short fuse and the slightest thing would set me off. Also, my attitude was changed. I was no longer negative and depressed. God gave me a positive attitude and I was excited to be alive. I remember visiting my cousin Ben, who had recently become a Christian himself, and he said to me, "Nick, what happened? You are different." This is the Ben from the beginning of the story that I rented a house with when I was 17. I've known Ben since we were kids and he has always been a close friend. Me and Ben started studying the Bible together. He helped me and taught me a lot. I spent a lot of time praying, studying the Bible and singing worship songs to God. Now that I knew that God was real, there were changes I had to make. There were friends I had to stop seeing. There were movies I had to stop watching. There was music I had to stop listening to. I made an effort to change my ways. I even got rid of the TV that was in my room. I started looking after my health. I quit drinking and smoking. And after 10 years of smoking every day, I know how hard it is to quit smoking. I began to eat better and exercise. I started applying God's word to my life and seeking God's will for me. Through getting to know God and applying these changes to my life, I began to experience peace. It was around this time that I met Jasmine. Instantly, I knew there was something special about her, and 9 months later, we got married. Samuel is my stepson, and Jasmine and I now have a baby girl due in November. It was a process of hard work and persistence, but I've been clean for about 2 years now. First, God transformed my heart, and then I began to see my life transform. God has taken away my desires to drink and take drugs. He's given me new desires to help people and to love people. Thank you.
Wow, that was great, wasn't it? Can we give the three guys a hand?